Psalm 100 for just a moment. I wasn't preparing or planning on preaching this, but let me give you just a little bit more than what we give you on Wednesday night, and we'll just try to follow the Lord this evening, all right? This morning, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Amen. Come before His presence with singing. We look at this verse. We dealt with verse 1 and 2 Wednesday night. Look with me in verse number 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. You better know this. You better know this. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Everybody look here this morning. There is no such thing as a self-made man. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. The Bible said we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. I won't even read the rest of the psalm this morning we dealt with on Wednesday night. This being another psalm of David. And for centuries now, it's been known by, we don't use this phrase much in these days, but in centuries gone by, this psalm was simply known as the Old Hundred. In other words, this psalm had become so endearing to the hearts of people, no doubt since the days that David wrote it, that it just simply was called, you know, the Old Hundredth. Amen. The Old Hundredth Psalm and what it did in the hearts of God's people and still does in challenging us and stirring us and sparking a measure of gratitude and thankfulness and worship and praise to our God for who He is to us. And what a blessing the Old Hundredth Psalm is. This psalm is entitled simply a psalm of praise. A psalm of praise, and no doubt is a charge to all of us that are saved, amen, as the people of God, to indeed praise the Lord. Psalm 99, we're called upon to worship the Lord for His holiness. But in Psalm 100, we're carried beyond even that, and we're told and commanded and stirred, and we worship the Lord for His goodness. You see, this psalm ends, verse 5, for the Lord is good. Amen. Every joyful noise we make, every day we serve Him, every day we praise Him, every moment we enter His gates and walk through His courts and are thankful unto Him and bless His name, it hinges on the fact that the Lord is good. Amen. He's good to me and He's good to you, your family and my family and this church. Amen. He's good to the world and He's good to the sanctuary. Thank God for His goodness. This psalm seems to have tones of exhortation to that of the Levites, those in the priesthood, as this psalm compels to serve and to sing and to praise and to bless the Lord. Amen. Three times in this psalm we see an emphasis made to God's people that we are to, and here's the ways that it is worded, that we are to come before His presence, and we are to enter into His gates and enter into His courts. And so there is an emphasis being made about, amen, coming before the Lord, entering into His presence, amen, enjoying not just His omnipresence that is everywhere, amen, but that special manifest revelation of God, amen, to His children, amen, in those special avenues and places that God has reserved. Amen, the place of prayer, the place of the house of God. Amen, the daily personal time of worship that we have with the Lord. Amen, these things, my friend, are our entrance into the presence of God. And so as we consider this psalm and look at this psalm this morning, again, we do so with the thought of coming before the presence of the King. Amen. The idea here is that our God is the Lord. He's the King. He's the one that is on the throne, and we as His subjects, we as His children, have a privilege and a benefit and even a responsibility to come before His presence and to do so in a right way. We understand, amen, I'll cut out a lot of this introduction we give, but we understand that Psalm 100 is not only charging us to come before His presence, but really is the how-to manual. In five verses, David is telling us not only to come, but how we are to come. Hey man, if you want to come, you're going to have to come the Bible way. You're going to have to come the way that God has instructed for us to come in His Word. David loved to go to the house of God. Amen. David enjoyed the presence of the Lord. Amen. David knew how to come before the presence of the King. And so we find here in verses 1 and 2 quickly, amen, that we are to come with gladness. Amen. With gladness. We don't come with sadness. We don't come with a gloomy face and a gloomy soul. We don't come with a despondent, downcast spirit about us. Amen. But David said, if you're going to come before the presence of the King, amen, tap into the gladness that He has made available to your life. Amen. And I know there's a lot of sadness in this world. Amen. A lot of sadness, wars and famines and all sorts of troubles and trials and personal afflictions we go through. Bad reports from the doctors, bad news from every direction. Amen. That is designed to keep us in a place of sadness. Amen. But I'm glad to the child of God there is a realm of gladness this world knows nothing about. Amen. Jesus promised to give us His joy. Amen. Not the joy of sin, not the joy of social standing. Amen. Not the joy that Satan offers seemingly in the pleasures of sin. Amen. But a joy and a gladness that is eternal and everlasting. Amen. A joy that abides even when a tear's rolling off your cheek. Amen. A joy that you can tap in when your heart's been busted open. Amen. A joy that can only come, amen, from an eternal God that, amen, has offered and promised this joy in His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. With the description of these verses is that of gladness. Amen. Of both lips and life. Amen. The word gladness used in verse number 2 means blithesomeness or glee, to brighten up, and speaks of fullness of cheer. Amen. Amen. If you're going to come before your King today, amen, you ought to do so with fullness of cheer. Amen. You ought to be, amen, thinking of Him and what He's done for you. Amen. You ought to be thinking of where He found you. Amen. Hey, saved you. Hey, changed your life. Hey, rescued you where you could be today had it not been, amen, for Him and His grace. And that boy, when I start thinking about that, amen, it happened all over again this morning here in Tim. Amen. Talk about the Lord and what the Lord done for him. Amen. That got me thinking on what the Lord done for me. Amen. For a note, and I'm over there weeping, tears of fullness of joy and cheer. Amen. Because of what my God has given me by way of gladness. And there's not one verse in Psalm 100 that even hints at sadness. The whole Psalm's filled with gladness. Amen. It's shouting, it's singing, it's, amen, jubilation. It, amen, it's filled with smiles. It, oh, it's filled with glory there. There's nothing sad in Psalm 100. Amen, it's all about gladness. And that's how we have to come, the presence of the King. So we looked at, boy, I really just want to pre-preach it all, Brother Riley, again, it blessed me. Amen. So much Wednesday. Amen. And yet I want to get to verse number 3. But, amen. And maybe we'll say more about some of these things on Wednesday night. Amen. Coming up. You don't want to miss it. But, amen. In this psalm, he describes the kind of gladness that, man, we've got to have. Amen. In verse number 1, we look at the gladness of a victorious soldier. Amen. A joyful noise is the noise of triumph. Amen. It is the noise of a soldier that has been in the battle, and amen, has stood his ground and hasn't backed down. It, amen, hasn't, my friend, fallen in the heat of the battle. Amen. And all of a sudden the war begins to settle, and the smoke begins to clear away, and the dust begins to settle down. Amen. And all of a sudden the soldier looks around, and the enemies have either fled or the enemies have fallen. Amen. And he stands there with raised sword and raised hand. Amen. With a joyful sound of triumph, and the victory has been secured. Amen. And so this morning, in and of ourselves, amen, we may not have much victory, but amen, we do have victory in Jesus. Amen. We can stand with the gladness of a victorious soldier. Amen. It even says it in the verse, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He's the one that gave you the victory. He's the one that fought the battle. He's the one that won the war. Amen. We are on the winning side. Amen. We have the captain of our salvation. Amen. To give glory to. Amen. For the gladness of a victorious soldier that he has put upon us. Amen. The gladness of a victorious soldier. The gladness of a voluntary servant. Serve the Lord with gladness. Amen. Not with grievances. Not being grieved in your heart. Not feeling like you have to. But realizing you get to. Amen. Amen. The gladness of a vivacious singer. He said, enter into. Amen. Come before, rather, verse 2, his presence with singing. Amen. With singing, not, amen, just mouthing some words and hitting some notes and humming a tune, but, amen, put all of your heart into it. Amen. Like the one you seen riding down the road this week. Amen. In front of you or beside you that, amen, no doubt had the radio turned up and a soul, amen, was stirring and they're singing to the top of their lungs and they don't care who sees and who hears, but, amen, they're just filled with some sort of, amen, joy about what they're singing about. Amen. Do you understand that when the Lord saved us, amen, he reached down, David said, in a horrible pit. Amen. And he brought us up. And, amen. He washed us and he set us on a rock and he established our going. And David said, he put a new song in my heart, even praise unto our God. The idea is simply that of we have a song to sing. Amen. That song is the joy of the Lord. Amen. That strengthens us. And the gladness that we're to have when we come before the King is the gladness of a vivacious singer. Amen. Energy, excitement. Amen. A zeal about us, about who we belong to. Amen. Now, if we're going to come before the presence of the King, amen, we not only got to come with gladness, but consider this with me this morning. Amen. I worded it this way. Verse number 3 begins, no. Amen. If you're going to come before the presence of the King, there's some things you got to know. Amen. And so here's our word this morning. Amen. Because I'm a good homiletically correct Baptist preacher with guarantees. Amen. If you're going to come before the Lord and the presence of the Lord, Brother Jeremy, we've got to come with some guarantees. Amen. Verse 3, again, it begins with the imperative for God's people to know. Amen. This word and this statement, it is a command for us to be assured of by experience and observation. David is saying there are some things you, if you are of the people of God, you have experienced. And there are some things, if you'll open your eyes, that you can observe that it will bring some, amen, assurance and guarantees in your life about the one that you're coming before. And I say this morning, you'll never come in the presence of the King, amen, until you know some things about Him. Amen. Amen. I don't want to be mean this morning. It's a good attitude and spirit around here today. Amen. But some folk, my friend, amen, they're so wishy-washy and fickle and feigned in their faith. Amen. You'd be amazed how, amen, I want to be careful here. You'd be amazed how ignorant some folks sound when they go trying to talk about God. They don't know nothing. They're trying to fit in. They're trying to sound right. Amen. They're trying to be a part of something that they do not truly even know anything about. Can I say this morning what we've sung about? What Brother Tim testified and taught today. Amen. What these other testimonies have magnified. I'm glad I know something about the one that has been emphasized in. Amen. Know ye. Amen. Do you know the Lord? Know ye that the Lord. Do you know anything? Tell me what you know about the Lord. May I ask this question? Is what you think you know about the Lord what the Bible really says about Him? There's a lot of people claiming to have knowledge, and what they spew out doesn't line up with the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Lord, help me preach this morning. Amen. Amen. Let me give you, we'll just use the verse here. We could preach it from cover to cover, but amen, we'd be here till, amen, this time tomorrow. So let me confine us, amen, to just verse number 3 and give you some of the guarantees we have, amen, assurances we have about God. Amen, the God we're trying to get in His presence. The God, amen, the Word of God said in His presence is fullness of joy. Amen. And you're not going to be much interested in Him if you don't know these things about Him. Amen. Guarantee number 1. Amen. I like this one. You got to know that He is the singular God. You've got to know that He is the singular God. You see, one of the lies I'm hearing folks say is they try to tell me about what they know about God. Amen. Is that there are many gods, and that, amen, it's just a multiple choice thing. And that the Christians said, and the cults, and the Catholics said, and the Muslims said, and the Buddhists, and the New Age, and the Scientologists said, and that really, you know, we all have our own way of believing it. And in the end, we're all going to wind up in the same place. Amen. And nothing can be further from the truth. The Bible said, amen, know ye that the Lord, He singular is absolute God. You've got to know He's the singular God. Amen. May I say, beside Him, He declared of Himself that there is none other. Amen. He is singular. There's not even another to compare Him to. Amen. This matter of the Lord being God, it's not a matter of multiple choice. Amen. I'm telling you, there's only one God. Amen. There's only one. He is singularly God. And you must have that assurance in your heart today. Amen. He's singular. He is singular God. He is the singular God. He doesn't share a throne with anybody else. He's not in competition with anybody else. Amen. He wasn't voted in. He sure won't be voted out. Amen. You can't excommunicate him. Amen. You can't impeach him. Amen. You can't, you can't say, when I don't like him, I go find me another. Who else you gonna find? Amen. He is the Lord. Amen. Friend, this one we're to know about, we are, amen, to understand the guarantee of the Word of God, and he is singular God. Amen. He ain't sharing the throne with the Pope. Amen. He is not sharing, mad friend, the throne. He's not sharing his deity. He's not joined in lordship, amen, with Joseph Smith and the Mormon church. May I even say, and I know where I'm at this morning, amen, he's not even sharing in his sovereignty, amen, with the Baptist today. He is singular God. The Lord, he is God. There's a lot I could preach there this morning. Let me say number two, you got to have this guarantee. He is the sovereign God. It is he that hath made us. Boy, I'm hearing a lot of goofy stuff come out, amen, in our generation. Evolution, amen, as Tony Hutchin would say, my hind leg. If you believe in evolution, my friend, you've lost your mental capacity to even be able to, amen, to be able to think for yourself. Amen. So it's science. Well, you understand this. There are things that are called science that are false science. And it's not science anyway. I've read what all they say. And for them to even believe what they're saying, amen, they're putting faith in things they cannot replicate. They're putting faith in things they cannot witness. They're putting faith, amen, in an agenda that they have in an attempt to deny that the Lord is God, that he is the sovereign God. And in that, I declare to you, evolution is indeed not a science. It is a religion. It's the same crowd trying to get jabs in everybody's arms these days. It's the same crowd says men can have babies. You have lost your ever-loving mind. Amen. You say, how do you know that? Because Genesis 1 gives you account of what David said. You've got to know about God. It is he that had made us. We didn't come from monkeys. We didn't come, amen, from tadpoles. Thank God we were, amen, made by the sovereign hand of God. Somebody say amen. He's the sovereign God. He don't answer to nobody. He don't answer to you. The sovereign God, he declares what truth is. We're living in a generation that don't know this today, and they need to know it. Let God be true and every man a liar. Say, well, my daddy told me I can't trust the Bible. Let your daddy be a liar and let God be true. Well, my mamma said, let your mamma be a liar and let God be true. Hey, amen. You've got to be guaranteed of this, assured of this. You must know this, that he is the sovereign God. He cannot lie. He's a sovereign God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. And there's application. Boy, I gotta hurry, but there's application here, obviously, to creation. Amen. There's also, amen, principles here and truth here in the new birth. You know why I'm here today as a child of God? Because I know the sovereign God. I'm no Calvinist today, and some of y'all don't even know what that would be. You know, acquaintance with theological terms. Amen. And some of you do, and so don't label me. I ain't no Calvinist, but the Bible tells me salvation's of the Lord. If he's not a sovereign God, even in salvation, we could never even be saved. Amen. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turned everyone our own way. Amen. Paul said in the book of Romans, there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. Amen. And yet somehow He is the sovereign God of glory. Amen. Look down upon His creation and the world that He had made. And seen how they had gone away and seen how you and I had walked away. Amen. And thank God He is sovereign enough to meet us where we were. Amen. He is sovereign enough to send His Son into the world. He's sovereign enough that He has declared, I'm unwilling that any should perish. And He's actively involved in creation, bringing, amen, men and women and boys and girls from everywhere into His family. Amen. He's sovereign. He's the sovereign God even in the new birth. Amen. We're having a time, ain't we? Amen. Let me say number three, you got to be guaranteed He's not only the singular God and the sovereign God, you got to be guaranteed of this, you got to know this, that He's the saving God. Amen. I love this next phrase, we are His people. A people that the Word of God, Brother Mike, has declared definitively that we are aliens and strangers and at enmity with Him. And yet somehow by the power of the gospel, amen, somehow by the witness of other children of God, amen, the Lord has claimed us to Himself. He has taken that friend, a crowd that one time was His foe, and brought us into His own family. Amen. A crowd that at one time were strangers and now, amen, been sainted and made to be the children of God. Amen. So much so that David said, know this. Know this. You've got to know this. And He is the saving God. And I say, I'm glad I'm of His people. Amen. Amen. It ain't a perfect people. Amen. In fact, if you look at His people, there's a lot of flaws. Amen. There's a lot of hypocrisies in there. Amen. There are a lot of blemishes that you'll find. Amen. But I'd rather be named among His people. Amen. Than any crowd in this world. Ain't it amazing there's hypocrites down in the school? Ain't it amazing there's flawed people on the job? Ain't it amazing there's people, amen, that are imperfect in every place we attend in this world? Amen. But can I say today, amen, I'm glad I'm among His people. Amen. Those blood-bought, redeemed, sins washed away, and lives changed. I'm glad I know I'm His people. How'd you get there? Because He saved me. Amen. Amen. Before conversion, the sinner belongs to the domain of the God of this world. Amen. You say, how do you know that? Because Jesus said, amen, to a bunch of sinners, you're of your father, the devil. You're of your father, the devil. The Apostle Paul said, Lucas, he said, amen, to the church in Ephesus, said, and before you were saved, before you knew and met the grace of God and the power of the Lord Jesus, he said, you were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. In other words, we've not always, if you're saved today, you've not always been saved. You've not always been His people. So how'd you become His people? He had to save your life. He had to save your life. You as a child of the devil, a slave to sin, had to by faith and repentance turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And cast all, amen, all that you were into everything He'd done for you. Amen. It's a glorious day in my life. And I believe the gospel. And I believe that He died for me. And I believe that He was buried for me. And I believe that He rose again the third day. Amen. For my justification. Amen. For my redemption. Oh, amen. I'm telling you, you listen to a preacher this morning. Amen. Mark it down. Brother Ledbetter's a child of God. And knows He is the saving God. I know that. I'm not belittling doubt. I'm not belittling, amen, those who have times and moments of doubt. Amen. And some of y'all may fall out with me. It's fine. I'm used to folk falling out. Amen. You better be careful what you say about some folk that have a moment of struggling. Amen. Amen. Just cause somebody has a little doubt there. Amen. Brother Dana Williams taught me this. Amen. Back last month. He said, Brother Ledbetter, he said, there's a crowd in our day that has forgot the difference between unbelief and doubt. A child of God can doubt. But a child of God can never be in unbelief. Amen. Some of you, the devil's wearing you out. The devil, mad friend, wants to make you think this and that. You know what you got to do? You got to say, I'm going to the presence of my King. And I'm going to know that He is the saving God, that He rescued me. That there's nothing I can add. There's nothing needs to be taken away from what Jesus did for me. Amen. I put my faith in the saving God. I'm glad He's a saving God. Amen. Then let me say this and I'm done. He's the shepherding God. You got to know this. You got to know this. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people. David said, yeah, while I'm at it, don't forget we're the sheep of His pasture. Amen. Ain't you glad you know He's leading the way? Ain't you glad that, amen, He's not just the singular God and the sovereign God and the saving God, and that we know that, and then He just turns us loose in this, amen, this pagan world we're living in to say, do the best you can. Amen, make it the best way you can. Amen, can I say, I've not been left without a guide. I've not been left in this world without a shepherd. Amen. Psalm 23, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me. I'm glad He's a leading the way. Amen. Through the valleys and atop the mountains and on the sunshiny days and in the storms. Amen. I'm glad I know He's the shepherding God. He leadeth me. Amen. You got to know that. Amen. There are people that are stoved up on God, living their life outside His presence because they don't like the situation they're in.
Right.
Amen. You know what you forgot? You know what you need your eyes open to today? Wherever you are, the Lord is the shepherding God. Well, I don't like this and I don't like that. I never have had God come down and ask me what I like.
Amen.
The Lord ain't ever come to me, Jeremy, and said, you know, I'm thinking about leading you through a valley right now. Would that be okay? He ain't ever asked my opinion. You know why? I'm the sheep. He's the shepherd. He knows the way home.
Yes,
He's already been down the path. He's already, hallelujah, proven Himself faithful.
Yes.
Amen. Oh, he got Adam safely home. And He got Enoch safely home. And He got Noah safely through the flood. And He got Abraham from Ur. Amen. Out of Ur. Got him to the blessings of God. Amen. He got Jacob where he needed to be. Amen. He got Moses and Joshua and Israel into the land of Canaan. And thank God He led David's life. And He already proved He can lead through the fire. Amen. In the times. Amen. The Babylonian captivity. And sometimes He leads through dens of lions. Amen. Sometimes He leads through stormy seas. But thank God He's never let one of His youngins, amen, die along the journey.
Amen.
He ain't let us be destroyed. Amen. And David said, by the way, while you're coming, the presence of your King, know this, He is the shepherding God.
Amen.
Glad again this morning He's leading the way. Whatever you need today, the shepherd knows about it.
Amen. Right.
Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
Amen.
We'll make a statement today. I'll end here. There's a lot of preaching. I could preach entire messages on all four of these. Everybody listening? Watch this. Candy, come on the piano. Everybody go, whoo, that really means he's almost done. But while she's coming, please, please listen. I shall not want. If you are wanting today, if you are wanting today, what you're wanting is not coming from the shepherd. I'm preaching to a generation that's in a culture that is always wanting. Always wanting. Tim breezed back this morning the parable of the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son. Jack, when he got down in the hog pen, the Bible said he began to be in want. You young folk listening, y'all listening, it is not the God of the Bible that leaves you wanting. If you're wanting today, I promise you, you're not walking in the leadership of the shepherd.
Amen.
I shall not want.
Amen.
There's a generation, they can't get shepherding God. You can rest in Him, where He leads, what He provides, how He guides, how He's working in our life. You can rest assured that we are the sheep of His pasture. I don't want to pay. I don't need another pasture. Lord, there's so much preach right here. I got to quit. I'm not looking for a pasture down at the honky tonks. I ain't looking for another pasture down at the pool halls. I ain't looking for another pasture. Amen. That the world is painted to be so green and luscious and looks to me so fulfilling. I'll just stay in His pasture.
Amen.
Let me ask you again. Do you know the Lord our God?
Amen.
Do you know Him?